Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
Slug Magazine's Brew Stillery is a local beer and spirits festival, and it's been celebrating Utah's brewers and distillers since 2018. This all-ages event has something for everyone to enjoy, offering tastings of local beer and spirits, and also featuring local food trucks, artisans, and music. Don't miss Slug Mag's Brew Stillery 2024 on Saturday, June 15th at ArtSpace City Center from 2 to 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now through 24tix.com. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. Cassius Clay, aka Joshua Carpe, is a singer-songwriter and producer from Cleveland, Ohio. With an extensive background in music, his first single dropped in 2017. And since, he's released multiple heavy-hitting albums and EPs. He collaborated with John Mayer for two song releases, one of which was featured on the Netflix TV series soundtrack of 13 Reasons Why. His first single was also sampled by Taylor Swift in 2019 on her track London Boy. As part of Slug Mag's Kilby Block Party coverage, I was able to sit down with Joshua on a Zoom, where he joined me from his place in Brooklyn. We discussed the concept of his most recent album, Carpe, and how he wrote it in three parts, each representing a part of his familial past and how he carries it with him in his life today. Cassius Clay will also be playing at Kilby Block Party on Saturday, May 11th. You can find out where to get your tickets at slugmag.com.
Hello, my name is Cassius Clay, also known as Joshua Carpe. I am a singer-songwriter, music producer, and flute and saxophone player mostly. And I make a lot of different types of music. I would describe it as, fun and complicated at the same time. Not like complicated as in, oh, you can't understand it, but like I spend a lot of time tinkering around with elements of what I'm doing, regardless of how simple it might sound or complex it might sound. I don't know, but I like to have fun. I like it to feel visual too. A lot of my songs are written with different scenes from movies in mind. So I think more than anything, I'd say it feels like very visual. Album Carpe. I also made it sort of a collaborative album, so it was kind of like a bunch of my favorite musicians who work in the jazz scene or like are in that scene. Yeah, I wanted to step into a different realm and a realm that felt comfortable for me. I didn't feel like I'm like making a large shift. It was more of just like a different style than maybe, you know, Deadpan Love, which was my first album, or like my first EP, Blood Type, being a little bit more rock and like folky. So I don't think that's something I'm abandoning by any stretch of the imagination, but also am not in any way like only becoming like a complicated jazz artist, you know, in some kind of like esoteric way. Because I mean, I love jazz in a very deep and emotional way. I think people kind of get discouraged, you know, by genres like classical jazz because it feels like, oh my gosh, you have to know all this stuff. I never approached it that way. And I never wanted to work with people who approached it that way. I never want to work with people who approach music that way. I'm a very intuitive and emotional music maker and person. And so that's kind of just my path. And again, this new music I'm working on, I think is going to just be different from what other, you know, so it's just like, I'm always going to change. I'm not like, I create narratives around releases, but I think as a musician and a singer-songwriter, I want to always kind of evolve and and explore. I personally loved David Sanborn, and I also personally did not like Kenny G. You know what I mean? And but that for a lot of people, they're like the same kind of saxophone pop sax guy. But like I made a song called Tide My Witness, and I was like, I want to make a song that sounds like David Sanborn via like the 90s, but then has like this like kind of crazy drum beat behind it. So, you know, that's a great example of like, okay, that David Sanborn was someone I think I knew because my like my dad or my mom listened to it, you know, and then I just started becoming a fan of how like sort of the production elements of like that early sound. So I'm really, really inspired by like Rossand Roland Kirk as well. He's like a really, he's known for playing three saxophones at once, but he's also an incredible producer and arranger. Interesting dude. Thelonious Monk, for sure. Eric Dolphy. I think I'm thinking about jazz people, but like, nah, there's like a ton of non-jazz people too. Like, I love Whitney Houston. Like, she's my favorite, you know, but. So my grandparents were from Oklahoma. Well, I think Louisiana via Oklahoma, my grandmother. And, you know, they were probably in their 20s and they, you know, my grandmother was, she was Creole. She was Cherokee and black and lived in Oklahoma. She was a part of a community there. And then my grandfather was just African-American and they met. I think my grandfather was like cleaning. He was like a cleaner or something at my grandmother's house or something. And then they met and then they got married. And then there was this whole thing in America that a lot of people don't really talk about, but is huge. It's one of the largest migrations in American history. Is called the Great Migration of Black people moving from the South to the North in the early 20th century. And so they were a part of that, but they, instead of going to like Chicago or Cleveland or, you know, Boston or New York, they ended up going to Seattle. Because they found a job working at a steel, like they were like breaking down steel and stuff in the steel yards in Seattle. My grandfather ended up kind of becoming an engineer through that process in the early 50s and raised my dad and his six siblings. So it was an album I sort of wrote after I had gone on a visit to Seattle, where a lot of my family on my father's side lives, all my aunts and uncles. I had found this old tape that my grandfather had in this house that my father and his six siblings grew up in. And it inspired me to kind of like, he was also an engineer back in like the 60s for Boeing and had worked there for, you know, many decades. And so something about like his creativity with like him making, like he like designed all these different things. And then my aunt is also an artist and she designs a lot of things and has been doing that for 40 years. And so I got a lot of inspiration just from being around that essence. Aesthetically, the album was very much based on a lot of my aunt's artwork. And so that was sort of like the visual landscape. And then thematically, it was really just like based around the relationship of my both sets of my grandparents and sort of how they navigated society, but then also just like, you know, elements of cheating and then raising seven children on my father's side or three kids on my mother's side. So it was all of this kind of stuff that delved into those relationships song by song or idea by idea. And then by the end of the album, I wanted to kind of demonstrate what I ended up taking away from the knowledge that I sort of gathered from making those earlier songs in the album that were sort of referencing my grandparents' relationships. I actually made it in three parts. It's the past explained, and that goes from 102 years of comedy to take a half. The honeymoon of exploration is what it's called, the second part, which is another half into Unfinished House, which is the 11th song. And then the final 12 through 15 is A Sweet Bitter Solitude. So that's like learning how to be alone with my thoughts in order to breed the healthiest version of myself when I'm around family and friends. Where I go in life, being alone is beautiful and an eternal truth. So that's kind of like the final stage. My grandfather who's from Liberia, he was part of this tribe called the Kru tribe. And so there was a song called Tide is My Witness where my mom is talking at the end, talking about, you know, sort of his experiences in the United States, just with like being an African, literally an African man from West Africa, and dealing with racism from like not only white people, but also Black Americans, and his experiences with that in the 60s, and just sort of like also being a doctor and just living an entirely different life than I think a lot of people were accustomed to. So I wanted to highlight that experience. There was another talking point with my dad talking about his mom and dad, or my grandparents, and the house that they built in Seattle that is now my aunt's studio, art studio. And then there's one at the beginning with my grandfather speaking about, you know, me taking music lessons and everything that kind of came to be about music for me, you know, from his eyes. And he wasn't my biological grandfather, but he, you know, raised my mom and was a very instrumental part of my life and their lives. And so it just felt appropriate to kind of have him speaking on that and just kind of like knowing how my mom affected me and also how that influenced my path into being an artist and creating music.
The name was our identity for so long. We just pronounced it Carpe. Carpe. Carpe.
Carpe.
K-A-R-P-E-H.
Carpe.
All this stuff is highly personal, but I also felt like there's a lot that I wanted people to take away from it, not to just be like, oh, you know, this is just an album about my family. It's really like, I think, an album about like what it's like to be an immigrant in multiple different generations, what experiences can sort of change how you see the world and like, you know, how you were raised. Yeah, again, I feel like I made this album personally, but I also wanted to make the album in a way that felt like it could be connective, because I think that's the important part of making music. Most of my past music I make here in this place, and it's a very fluid process, and I can do everything from start to finish, and I will collaborate with other producers in the past, but this was a scenario where I actually rented out a studio down the street, Figure Eight Studios. I booked out 3 days there, and I got Julian Lodge, Sean Rickman, Joshua Crumley on bass. I had Emmanuel Wilkins playing soprano, Ambrose Akamusir playing trumpet. I played obviously tenor sax, and oh yeah, Joel Ross on vibraphone. So he played a little bit of vibraphone. So I just got all these people together, and we recorded like, I want to say 75% of the album there. Most of that was like live instrumentation, and I had sort of done sketches of ideas beforehand, brought them in, and then I just kind of gave them to everybody. And so I'd never really done a recording process like that before. Working with Julian Lodge in particular was a highlight, because he, as a guitar player, is just truly a gift to mankind. So, and obviously has his own career. And so it was cool to like work on songs with him. Like I had sort of played the guitar on another half, but then I wanted him to play it in a certain way. And so another half was when he did Repeat Myself, was when we sort of did together. I mean, it's sort of just like this process of trusting the people that you're working with enough to create a soundscape, and also having enough like understanding of what you want to get out of it, right? I think any good artist knows how to do that, has an opinion. There's another song on the album called Another Half that is in part two. A lot of people think is just kind of like sort of this amorphous love song, but it's actually about taking psilocybin. And this is sort of like my own personal experiences with psilocybin and like playing basketball and just kind of like freeing my mind from the stresses of life. It's placed in the middle of the album because it's kind of like me really just considering all of those things that my grandparents had gone through. And then I'm just kind of like, okay, well, how do I internalize this? Understanding different forms of intimacy. That's the part that's I forgot. Another half is really about, you know, exploring different elements of intimacy. And like, I feel like psilocybin was a crucial part of that for me. And understanding that like, it's not just sometimes like sex or, you know, something like, you know, hard drugs in a way. And I feel like psilocybin for me doesn't seem to have the same. I mean, obviously it can be a drug. It is a drug, but I think like its effects are not the same in terms of just like being an abusive type of thing, you know. It's not an everyday thing, you know, because it's so intense. So like it starts off with like, I need another half, like I need you, not a lot of sober nights, I'm wound up tight, but you're the answer. It's sort of like using psilocybin in this way of like, yeah, comparing it to a relationship or comparing it to an experience that you need sort of like a, it's just sort of like pressing restart in a way that feels kind of like not forced, but also kind of like passionate. I mean, the truth is like I made the song kind of based on, I used to go to the basketball courts and like microdose. And then just like, I came up with that idea. So I don't know. It's not really like there wasn't a huge grandiose reason around how the lyrics came about. But then I sort of was like, okay, this also kind of ends up making a lot of sense with this theme in the sense that like I'm trying to make this album about how I'm seeing my past and my family's past and their relationships and how that sort of affects my day-to-day life. Me trying to press restart or trying to like refresh that feeling is an example of that. So
you're about to hear Another Half by Cautious Clay and featuring Julian Lage from the album Carpe.
Need another half like I need you. Not too many sober nights, I'm wound up tight. But you're the answer. You want a good life and a little screw to change your mind, the bulb is bright. You're the answer. We revel in the silence on our own little islands. But we can't be alone, we didn't get here intentionally, yeah. But a change won't fix what our minds don't want, and the weight won't give, but it's giving me something. I need another half like I need to. Not a lot of sober nights, I'm bound up tight. Took another half, another half, another half with you. I need another half, another half, another half with you. Just took another half, another half, another half with you. It's just a feeling we chase.
I I'm excited to be back in Salt Lake. And that was actually one of my favorite shows, being actually on that tour. Yeah, it was hype as hell. We had also just come back from doing a show. We had like had no sleep. We had just done like two shows back to back because we had done like the All-Star game in 2022 or 2023. And we had just come back and it was just like the crowd was extremely hype. We had a great time. So it'll be nice to obviously be back for Kilby Court and just like, or not Kilby Court, but it's the Kilby Block Party. We played Kilby the first time and then we came back and we did another place. It was a little bit bigger, but I can't remember what it was called. Yeah, it'll be like, I think my third time in Salt Lake. So it'll be a special show and be a good time. So I'm working on a pretty intense project right now. I'm kind of like waiting to really like announce anything. I'm really excited for what I have coming. It's going to be different. And I think in many ways speaks to just like, again, how I like to make music and how I like to express myself through visuals. Just trying to get it done. So yeah, thanks for, you know, all the fans out there and supporting me and what I do. And it means the world. So thank you.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Mary Culbertson, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com. If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM, stream at krcl.org, or download the app on the App Store.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.